Okay, so we are holding on Kuf Chaf Dalet Omud Beis. Holding Kuf Chaf. Check that Kuf Chaf Gimel Omud Beis rather. About here four lines from the bottom. Line begins with Shabbos. Okay. The last thing we learned yesterday was that there were different stages in the Issur of Muktzah. The Issur of Muktzah started out in the times of Nehemiah, where because the people were being very careless with keeping Shabbos, we find in the Psukim that they were actually being over on Melachas Daraisa, and then Nehemiah had to make tremendous efforts to get them to stop. So therefore, he and his Beis Din, meaning the Pashto Stanchik Nesagdola, made a gzera that you can't handle almost any kalim on Shabbos. We said you're allowed to handle kalim that you need all the time to eat with, that are clay kibble, that are receptacles, like bowls and plates, and like bowls and cups and whatnot, as well as, we said originally, there were three other kalim that are not used as much, but they're still used fairly often, one that's used to cut an eagle shell dvela, and one that's used to skim the froth and whatever floating stuff on top of a soup, and a small knife on the table, and then gradually over time they were matir as they saw that people are getting more careful with keeping Shabbos, then they were matir more and more aspects of the halachas of Mukta until we arrive at what we said in our Mishnah that only a kli shemalachti leisur, not kli shemalachti leisur, a kli that's mukta machzvus chesaron kis is the kind of keli that you're not allowed to handle on Shabbos at all for any reason whatsoever, as opposed to most other kinds of mukta. You have kulis when you can handle them, letzorach gufoi when you need the keli for itself for some purpose, or letzorach mekoimoi, we need the spot where it was. Some certain kinds of kelim, the ones that are malach de la heter, we said you can even move mechama letzel from if they're out in the sun and you want to put them in the shade so they don't get ruined. That's only ones that are malach de la heter. So you still have various categories of mukta, but most of them have various leniencies. So that's a result of these various stages in the Gzera of Mukta after the times of Nehemiah. We mentioned yesterday, by the way, that there are Rishonim actually who draw a distinction between the Gzera of Mukta, which applies to Kalim, versus we have a different kind of Mukta, which applies to things like rocks and sticks and whatnot, which we call Mukta Machmas Gufay. There are a number of Rishonim who say that those are actually two different takonas. Okay. So, Amar Rav Elazar, Konin Umaklas Glustera Umaducha, four Mishnayos that we're going to quote, four Mishnayos or Brises that we're going to quote, where we see various Kalim that you're not allowed to handle them on Shabbos, all of those, Kulan Kodim Hataras Kalim Nishnu, all of those were learnt before the last stage of Hataras Kalim. So we said according to, we said that there had been Hitiru v'chazru v'hitiru v'chazru v'hitiru until they reached the point where we have the final halacha, where most kalim there is some kind of purpose you can handle them for. So the last stage, we said we had Abaya and Rava arguing what exactly were they matir in the last stage. According to Abaya, they were matir that you're allowed to move them, letzorach gufoi, that you, when you have kalim that are used for an for that are otherwise used for an isur, you're allowed to move them letzorach gufoi on Shabbos, namely when you want the kali itself for, so when you're going to use the kali itself for some purpose, for example a hammer to crack nuts. According to Rava, even letzorach mekoymer, where you're only moving it because it's in your way and you want to get it out of the way. In any case, these four mishnayos or braises that we're going to quote all take place before that, says Rav Elazar. So like this, the konin, what's with the sticks, the tanan, we learn in a Mishnah. Now you have like this, we know that the shulchan in the Mishkan, you had the lechem aponim piled up, stacked up on the shulchan, six chalas in each stack. Between one chala and the next, they had konim, they had these golden half-tube shaped things that were meant to provide some space between one lechem aponim and the next so they don't spoil, so they don't get moldy. So you have air able to circulate between them. But the Mishnah say, Roy Sidur HaKonin, Vilenet Tilosim, Deiches Shabbos, putting in the sticks, arranging them under and over the loaves of Lechem HaPonim, or taking them out, is not Deiches Shabbos. Rather, what you do, the Mishnah describes over there in Menachos, what they do is, Erev Shabbos, the Koyanim come in and take out sticks from between the loaves and leave them from then and from Erev Shabbos until Shabbos morning, which is when they're going to take the old Lechem HaPonim off the Shulchan and distribute it among the Koyanim. During that time, they're sitting there on the table just as two stacks of six without the kun in between them. When they put on the new ones on Shabbos, same thing. After Shabbos, they come back in and put on the kun in. So now these kunim are klishim alach de lehetter, and we're still saying that you can't put them in, you can't take them out on Shabbos, implying that they're mukta. So that must be before the last, stage of the takana. Maklois, now we're going to see soon, the Gemara is going to say, not necessarily, but right now, Rabbi Lazar is saying this. Maklois, where do we see with the matter of the sticks? Konim also, of course, Konim I also translated as sticks. Konim means more like tubes. These were like if you take a piece of bamboo and split it in half along the length, then that would be what these tubes look like that were between one Lechem HaPonim and the next. They were like half tubes. Maklois are just regular sticks. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim. Maklos dakim chalokin hayusham. There were in the Bismikdash. They had thin smooth sticks in the Azara. Because they needed to hang up. What it is they need to hang up each person when they brought their Korban Pesach. They had to hang it up afterwards and strip off the skin. We had a whole discussion between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan and Berakah, how much of the skin are you allowed to strip off? But everybody agrees you have to strip off part of the skin at least in order to get at the Emurim. So the Mishnah says over there that usually they would hang them on hooks that were on pillars in the Mishnah, but if they ran out of hooks, there were a lot of people there bringing the Korban Pesach, then they had these sticks. They would put one end of the stick on one person's shoulder and the other end on the other person's shoulder, and then they would hang the animal from the stick and they would strip off the skin. Rabbi Lazar says no. It depends. On weekdays, true, they could do that. But our bar also shecholbius b'Shabbos. But if the 14th of Nisan comes out on Erev Shabbos, like it will this coming year, maniach yodei akesef chaveri v'yad chaveri akseifai, then he says you can't use the sticks. Then you can't use the sticks. So therefore, you need to instead, you put your arm on the other person's shoulder next to you, and the other person's arm you put on your shoulder. So now you have you can use your arms for tolo mafshit, and then you hang the Korban Pesach from the two people's arms, and you strip off the skin. So you see that Mishnah is saying you can't pick up the sticks and use them on Shabbos. Now, why not? B'pashtus, the sticks are a klisha malach de leheter. We still see that not. So evidently, Rabbi Lazar says this is another example of a Mishnah that was taught before the final stage, before HaTorah's Kalim, and therefore we're saying that you can't. So Rabbi Lazar would be saying, in other words, that Mishnah, as well as the previous one about the Konim, are not the final halacha. The final halacha, once they were matir, most kinds of mukta to move for one purpose or another, then you would actually be able to use the sticks on Erev Shabbos. By the way, the Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah over there is different than the Rabbi Lazar who's saying this whole memra. The Rabbi Lazar who's mentioning these four Mishnayos is Rabbi Lazar the Amora, Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas. The Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar ben Shamor, the Tana. Okay. Anyway, continuing, Glusra, where do we see the case of, second line of Kuf Chaf Yalad, Glusra, where do we see the case of the knob? Glusra is a knob. So the Tanan, we learn like this. Neger, if you have a door bolt, now door bolts weren't like, and nowadays you have a door bolt that's attached to the door permanently. In those days it wasn't. Sometimes it would be completely detached from the door. Sometimes it would be hanging from the door on a string or something, whatever it is. So neger sheyesh b'roshe glustera. So if it has a knob at one end of it, so now that knob, besides that the thing can be used as a door bolt, also the knob makes it that it can be used as to grind up, to crush garlic or other things like that. So it's a keli, but it's a keli that's malach de l'isser because you use the knob of it for that purpose to crush garlic or whatever, which you can't do on Shabbos. Not, it's used for a bolt for the door. It's used to keep the door locked. Like nowadays, you have a deadbolt for a door, so this is similar, but this one is not attached to the door permanently, and it has a knob at one end. So it has it right. So Rabbi Yeshua, Meshuntam in Pesach Zeh, the total of a Chabed of a Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua says you can't actually pick it up from, if you want it to, if you want to use it to lock a different door on Shabbos, you can't actually pick it up from one place and put it to another. All you can do is you can drag it around using the rope that's attached to it. Now, it's a klisha malach de laheter, and we're still saying that that Rabbi Yeshua is saying you're not allowed to pick it up and drag it around. Reb Tarfon says, okay, it's like any other keli, and you're allowed to carry it around in the chotzer. But, well, in other words, you're picking it up. You use the rope. In other words, you're dragging it around from one place to another by the rope, and then you're picking it up by the rope, picking it up off the ground, and putting it where you need to in the room. Right. So, or maybe not even lock the toil of a chaver b'shabbos means you're hanging it on another door. So it might not even be where you need to use it to lock another door. Right now, you just need want to put it on the door so that later on you'll have it available to lock with. Anyway, so the Tarfon is saying, okay, it's like any other kalim, and you're allowed to move it around in the chotzer. But we see, in other words, that Rabbi Yeshua, why would Rabbi Yeshua be saying you can't move it? Because the pashtus, it must be because it's before gzeiras kalim. Meducha hadam moron, and then the one with the mortar. We said before that we had before a case involving a mortar. We had actually twice. We had it on Kuf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, where you have a mortar that's used usually. Again, it's usually a keli with the inside of which you put garlic or whatever, and then you use something like this bolt with a knob, or you use a pestle or whatever to grind it to crush it. So we said that if there's garlic in it, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, and if not, then not. So far we had two explanations of that. We had Rabba's explanation on Kuf Chof Gimel. We had Rabba's explanation on Kuf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph that was specifically according to the Nechemya, who was the most machmir in the halachas of Mukta, and says, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah now, that even a keli, that even a klisha malach de laheter, you're not allowed to move on Shabbos for anything other than its designated purpose. So according to him, for example, let's say if you have, even if a meducha were a klisha malach de laheter, according to him, the only purpose you could move it on Shabbos would be for that purpose, in order to grind up garlic, which you can't on Shabbos. It's in fact a klisha malach de laiser. So therefore you can't move it at all, according to him. But even a klisha malach de laheter, according to him, you can't move for any purpose other than its designated one. A bowl, let's say, according to him, you wouldn't be able to move a bowl just in order to cover up something or whatever, only to eat on it. Even though the bowl is a klisha malach de laheter, exactly. Because Rav Nechemia is the most machmir. It's interesting, I think, that the original gzera of Mukta was made by Nechemia in the times of Tanakh, and now the one who is most machmir on it is Rav Nechemia, the Tana, his namesake. Anyway, so that was one answer. Yes, we had in the Gemara yesterday where Abaya used that to ask on Rava, and Rava had said that, you know what, when you're not allowed to move the meducha is only when you're moving it mechamel itzel, from the sun into the shade, because it is, after all, a klisha malach de laser. However, Rabbi Lazar is saying over here, that's a weakish answer. To say that we're talking about, to say that the Braisa is saying you can't move it, and it means only mechamel itzel, Rabbi Lazar says, no, it must be that Braisa was taught before Hatzaras Kalim, and therefore at that point you taka weren't allowed to move it, whereas now you would. Maybe not Mechamel itself, fine, but nowadays you can move the Meducha when you need it for a different purpose, if, let's say, you want to turn it over and sit on it. A Meducha is a mortar, so it's a large keli into which you put garlic or whatever, and then crush them or grind them, but it's a klisha malach de l'iser, but it's also large enough that you can turn it over, like you do nowadays with a garbage can or something, and sit on it. Mechamel itzel means if you have the keli itself is going to get ruined by sitting out in the sun, for example, then with a klisha malach de laheter, we're saying, although we're going to discuss soon that Rabba disagrees, but we're going to say soon, the halacha is that you are allowed to move it mechamel itzel. That was what Rabba had said before. But not when it's a klisha malach de laiser. So we said, if the garlic press, if this mortar has garlic inside it, then you have a heter to move it because of the garlic. So either one way, we discussed a couple of days ago, that one way of looking at it is maybe that shows in general you're allowed to move a mukta item as long as you have a non-mukta item with it. Or the other way of looking at it is that no, you can't, but in this case, when there's garlic inside it, then it's not serving as a mortar, it's serving as a keli to move around the garlic, and therefore it becomes temporarily a klisha malach de laheter. But if there's no garlic in it, we said it's also. So again, so Rabba had said that would be only according to Nechemya. Rava had said that it means you can't move it mechamel itzel, but you can move it otherwise if it's empty. And Rabbi, and now Rabbi Lazar is saying a third answer, that this is before Hataras Kalim. Okay. So, You can move it. So you have, again, when it comes to something that's mukta, when it comes to, for example, a klisha malach de l'isser, which is mostly what we're dealing with over here, there's two reasons that you're allowed to move it. Well, according to Rava, anyway, we had Abaya and Rava were arguing on this, but according to Rava, which is the halacha, you're allowed to move it l'tzorech gufoy, namely when you want to use the keli itself for some purpose. For example, you want the mortar to turn it over and sit on it, you want to use a hammer to crack nuts, etc. And then you have l'tzorech mekoymoy, if it's in the way and you want to move it out of the way so you have room to sit or whatever. And then when it comes to a klisha malach de l'heter, in addition, you have a heter called mechama l'tzel. You left it outside before Shabbos, let's say, and now it's going to get ruined. Then you're allowed to bring it inside. Or another example would be if it's going to get stolen, etc. So that you can't do with a klisha malach de l'isser. If you left a hammer outside before Shabbos, you don't have a heter to bring it in because mechama l'tzel. Only l'tzorech gufoy or l'tzorech mekoymoy. But if you left outside, let's say, a pillow, then you would be allowed to bring it inside mechama l'tzel as well. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mimai. Who says, Omar Rabba, Mimai. So Rabba says, who says that this explanation of Rabba Lazarus is correct, that all four of these Mishnayos or Brises are talking before Hataras Kalim? Maybe not. Maybe even after Hataras Kalim, there's reason to ask for each of these four things that are mentioned. Namely, maybe all these Mishnayos and Braises were actually taught after Ataras Kalim, meaning that they represent the halacha as it is now. And for each one of them, there's a reason why it still applies. Kanim, time of mind, Yishum Iyapushi. Let's look at the first one with the half tubes that were used by the Lechem Aponim. Why is what's the whole reason you have them on the Shulchan in the first place? To prevent the Lechem Aponim from getting moldy if it's sitting there a whole week, one loaf on top of another. Fine, Baha'i Purta, Leme Apish, during that short amount of time, from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos, and then for the old Lechem Aponim, and then from Shabbos morning until Motzei Shabbos, for the new Lechem Aponim, it's not going to spoil. So they can leave it for a few hours. So in other words, even now, it's only a matter of mukta. Usually, in fact, Tosfos says that Tosfos points out we don't usually have shvus in the Bismikdash, but sometimes the Chachamim saw fit to make a gzera of shvus of Dirabbanan even in the Bismikdash. And here we would say, even though it's only the whole thing is only a Dirabbanan, the Isser of Mukta, and and you're doing it for the sake of keeping the Lechem Aponim from getting moldy, fine, but in a few hours from when you put it on until when you put on the Lechem Aponim, until you put the tubes back in, they're not going to spoil, so therefore the Chachamim would enforce the Gzeira in that case as well, even nowadays. Now, the fact still remains that it is a klisha malach de l'heter on the face of it. But nevertheless, so we see, in other words, that still, when there's an alternative, then the Chachamim might be gozer on it, which leads actually the Mishnah Berurah says from this a very interesting point. When we say, for example, that you have a heter to take a hammer and use it to crack nuts on Shabbos, he learns that would only be if all you have available is a hammer. But if you have something that is mutter to use instead, then he says you would have to use that. You wouldn't be allowed to use a klisha malach de l'isser if you have an alternative. Just like we're saying over here, that since there's an alternative to not put the bekanim at all, then therefore you wouldn't be allowed to on Shabbos. Not everybody agrees with that. There are different achronim who question that conclusion of the Mishnah Berurah. But still, you have people. I don't know what the actual final halacha is on that. That's the thing. It's a klisha malach de l'heter, but nevertheless, we still don't want, since you're able to make do without it, so therefore the Chachamim still don't want you to be moving it on Shabbos unnecessarily. We talked about a concept yesterday, that Rebbe brings it in Shulchan Aruch, for example, that you're not allowed to move a keli for no purpose at all. You're allowed to move it l'tzorech gufoy, l'tzorech mekoymoy, sometimes mechama l'tzel, but not where you're moving it for no purpose at all. So Rabba is saying that maybe over here this would be considered no purpose at all. Now, it is true that Rabba himself, in the Gemara after the next mission, learns that actually, even nowadays, you only have a heter to move something, a klisha malach de l'heter, only l'tzorech gufoy and not l'tzorech mekoymoy. So according to him, even a klisha malach de l'heter, there are still restrictions on it. So he could be going according to his own shitta. In fact, we showed him explain that he's going according to his own shitta in explaining it that way. Maklois, what about when it comes to the sticks where we said that during the week they would hang the carbon Pesach from it to skin it, but on Shabbos instead we said Rebbe Lazar was saying they would hang it from their arms? Fine, the reason is that we could say that maybe that's the halacha nowadays also, because after all, Efshek Rebbe Lazar, because you could do like what Rebbe Lazar is saying, Rebbe Lazar's method works equally well nowadays also to hang it from your arms. So therefore, again, there's no reason to use the sticks. And therefore, we can still say, again, even though they may be a klish malacha l'hefter, nevertheless, since you have an alternative, then maybe the chachamim are not going to be matir you to use them. It's true, but you could also have somebody else who has two arms could help you. Well, you know, not everybody is doing it at the same moment, after all. So you could still have, you know, a couple of people get together and work on it together. And in fact, the Chachamim might disagree with Rebbe Elazar, partly for that reason, because you're creating greater tircha. Yeah. Glustera kidrabiana. The reason, the third case where we mentioned the case of the bolt that has a knob on the end of it. Why would we say that? Again, we said that Rabbi Yeshua is saying you can only drag it from one place to another. You can't actually pick it up from one place to another because. And we said Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, had said that that's because before Hataras Kalim. So Rabbi is saying not necessarily kidrabiana. The reason might be based on what Rabbi Yannai says. Rabbi Yannai says has nothing to do with the matter of muhtza. The case is where the chotzer has walls around it, but they didn't make an eruv chotzeres before Shabbos. So Rabbi Yeshua sabat techa pesach kilefnim dami. Rabbi Yeshua would hold that the area inside the doorway is considered like inside. It's considered part of the house, part of Rishus HaYachid, and therefore become a talta mon at the bottom b'chotzer. So it comes out when you take the bolt off the door. And now you're bringing it to another door in the chotzer, it comes out. You're taking a keli that was inside the house at the beginning of Shabbos, and now you're bringing it into the chotzer, and you can't do that. So the most you can do is drag it from one place to another in order that you're not directly carrying it. Whereas Reb Taifun would hold that the doorway is considered like outside, so therefore umana the chotzer b'chotzer kamataldol. So it comes out that this is a keli that was in the chotzer at the beginning of Shabbos and now is still in the chotzer because you're taking it from one place to another. Fine. The halacha is that when you have a chotzer that did not have an eruv chatzeres done, you're not allowed to bring things from the houses into the chotzer or vice versa, but you're allowed to carry things that were in the chotzer before Shabbos around in the chotzer on Shabbos, because after all, the chotzer is a Rishus HaYachid Daraisa, it has walls around it. So that would be some nothing to do with the question of mukta. It would have to do with the question of the matter of the rabbanon of carrying in a place that doesn't have that has walls but no eruv chatzeres. And Meduchah, Rav Nechemihi, and as far as the mortar, we could answer, like Rabba did on Kufaf Yom Alam Aleph, that it's according to that Braisa is only according to Rav Nechemia, and the Halacha is not like him. So not necessarily. Rabba says, do we have to say that any of these things are before Hataras Kalim? Okay. So the Mishnah says, Kolak Kalim Nitolim Letzorech V'Shaloi Letzorech. All Kalim can be handled Letzorech, meaning when you need them, V'Shaloi Letzorech, or not when you need them. Now, what we're going to see in the Gemara, what Letzorech and not Letzorech is. Reb Nechemia Omer, Ein Yitolan El Letzorech, Reb Nechemia says they're only allowed to be moved Letzorech. Now, when we say all Kalim, what we mean is, again, we said yesterday there are exceptions. We said that there's Kalim that are Mukta Machnas Chesor and Kis, like we said a large saw and the blade of a plow, and we had a few other examples in the Gemara where you would never use them for any other purpose on Shabbos because you don't want them to get ruined. So those kinds of things we're not talking about. But we're talking about most other kinds of Kalim. So, my letzorech or my shalom letzorech, says the Gemara. What do we mean letzorech and not shalom and not letzorech? Amar Rabba. So Rabba says like this. It's like this. Letzorech means davar shemalachter lehefter. When we say that you're allowed to move it, letzorech would mean when you have an object which is davar shemalachter lehefter letzorech gufri. That would mean when you have a keli which is mutter to use, where its main function on Shabbos is something that you're allowed to do, and you're moving it, letzorech gufri, you're moving it because you want the thing itself. So let's say, for example, a bowl or a fork or whatever that you're moving on Shabbos because you want to actually eat with it. That's what the mission means by letzorech. Shaloi letzorech would be davar shemalachter lehefter letzorech mekoymoi. But Shaloi Letzorech would be the same Davar Shemalachta Lehetter, but where you're moving it not because you want the keli itself, but because the keli is in your way and you want to get it out of the way. It's on the table, let's say, and you want to use the table for something else. So that would be the mission of the Tanakhama, is saying you're allowed to move such kelim, Letzorech and Shaloi Letzorech, but the Davar Shemalachta Leisur Letzorech Gufay Ein Letzorech Mekoymei Loi, but when it comes to a Davar Shemalachta Leisur, a hammer, for example, then the Mishnah is saying you'd only be allowed to move it Letzorech Gufay, only where you want to use it to crack nuts, not Letzorech Mekoymei where it's just in your way. The author of Nechemia Lamemer, and then Nechemia comes and tells us, "Va'afilu davar shemalachta lehetter letzorech gufay ein letzorech mekoymei loy." Nechemia is saying that no, even a davar shemalachta lehetter, like a fork, you would only be allowed to move Lotzarech Gufoy, but not Lotzarech Mekoyvoy. So according to him, we're going to see soon, the Gemara is going to ask in that case, according to the Nechemia, how you're allowed to clear the table on Shabbos. But we'll get to that soon. So that's Rabbah's understanding of the Mishnah, that the point is, according to Rabbah, even the Tanakama is not allowing you to move a Davash Malachta L'Isser L'Tzarech Mekoymoy, only L'Tzarech Gufoy, if you want to use the hammer to crack nuts, but not if it's in your way. And a Davash Malachta L'Hetter, fine, that you can move L'Tzarech Gufoy or L'Tzarech Mekoymoy, but not Mechama L'Tzel. You wouldn't see in the Mishnah, according to Rabbah, anywhere where you could move a Davash Malachta L'Hetter, a fork or a pillow or what have you, from outside to inside where you want to protect it from the elements. That before we said that yes, but the point of Rabbah would you say that no? So well, not, no. Rabbah is explaining the Tanakhama and Rav Nechemia. Yeah. So that's Rabbah. Amalei Rava. What do you mean? Letzarech Mekoyim Shalal Letzarech Karislei. So Rabbah says, what do you mean? Your explanation means that we're saying in the Mishnah when it says Shaloi Letzarech means that you're moving a keli Letzarech Mekoyim just because you need the place where it was. How can you call that Shaloi Letzarech? The fact is you're moving it because you need something. You don't need the keli itself, but you need the spot where the keli was. That's still Letzarech. Ela Amar Rabbah. So Rabbah says no. What it means is like this. Letzarech means davar shemalachta laheter bein letzarech gufay bein letzarech mekayme. When we say you're allowed to move a keli letzarech according to the Tanakhama and according to Rav Nechemia, that means when it's a davar shemalachta laheter, so a spoon or a fork or a pillow, bein letzarech gufay bein letzarech mekayme, whether you're doing it because you need the keli itself or whether you're doing it because you need the place where it was. Shaloi Letzarech would be Vafila Mechama Letzel. What would be Shaloi Letzarech is when you're moving it, when you're moving it from outside where it's in the sun and you're moving it into the shade in order to protect it from the elements. So that would be the Tanakhama is saying you're allowed to do that with a Klisha Malachta Lehetter. So you are allowed to move the pillow or the spoon or whatever indoors to protect it from the sun. Then that the davar shemalachta l'isur. Then when it comes to a davar shemalachta l'isur, a hammer, l'tzarech gufoy l'tzarech mekoymei ein. Then again, Rava's definition of l'tzarech includes mekoymei. So yes, you would be allowed to move it l'tzarech gufoy and l'tzarech mekoymei, but mechama l'tzel loy, but not to move it from the sun into the shade. So that would be what we were saying before. For example, that a pillow, if you left it outside before Shabbos, you can move it inside, but a hammer not. The author of Nechemia Lamema, Vafilo Dova, Shemalachta Leheter, Lutzarech Gufay, Lutzarech Mekoyme Ein, Mechama Letzeloi. Then Rav Nechemia is coming and saying that even a Dova, Shemalachta Leheter, you're still not allowed to move it. You're still only allowed to move it, Lutzarech Gufay, and Lutzarech Mekoyme, but not Mechama Letzel. So in other words, according to Rava's understanding of Rav Nechemia is allowing you to move a pillow, for example, where you need the Sarach Gufoy, because you want to sleep on it, or the Sarach Mekoyme, because it's in the way, not Mechama Letzel, and a Klisha Malachta Le'Isser, not at all, because Rav Nechemia is saying, we're going to talk about on Amud Beis, primarily the Gemara talks about this later on in the Masechta, that according to Rav Nechemia, you're only allowed to move a Keli, like we said before, only for the purpose that it was designed for. So for example, a pillow is only designed to sleep on, therefore, according to him, that's the only purpose you can move it for on Shabbos. Even though it's a completely heterdika thing, it's a klish malach of a heter, nevertheless, you can't just move it for other purposes, such as l'tzarech mekaymai. The expression he uses later on in the Masechta is even a spoon or even a talus, you can only move them for their designated purpose. So Rava is saying that Rav Nechemia would say that so a klish malachta l'isur, therefore Rav Nechemia would be saying you can't move at all. A klish malachta l'heter, he would say you could move l'tzarech kufay, but not l'tzarech mekoymai. But not l'tzarech mekoymai because that's not considered the purpose for which it's made. And as far as a klish malachta l'heter, Rav Nechemia would say, according to Rava, you can't move it mecham l'tzel. Okay. Yosef Rav Safra Rav Acha Bar Huna Rav Huna Bar Chanina the Yasvi V'Kaami these three Amiroyim Rav Safra Rav Acha Bar Huna and Rav Huna Bar Chanina were sitting one time and asking L'Rabba Alibad Rav Nechemia. Now let's go back to Rabba's understanding of Rav Nechemia. Remember, Rabba's understanding had been that even a klish malachta laheter, you can't move l'tzarech mekoymai, only l'tzarech gufay. So you can move a bowl, for example, if you want to eat with it. But not if you're just clear, not for example, if it's on the table and you want to move it. So according to Rabba's understanding of Rav Nechemia, Hani Karis Hechem Etalpalinim, how are you allowed to clear bowls and plates off the table on Shabbos? You're not clearing them off in order to eat again with them right now. So according to them, those are Klisha Malachta Leheter. According to Rabba's understanding of Rav Nechemia, how would you be allowed to move them? It's only the Tzarech Mekoymei. Amalahu Rab Safra. So Rab Safra answers them, needed to have a graf shari'i. Because, fine, it's true. According to Rabba's understanding of Rab Nechemiah, it should be mukta. However, you have the concept that we learned before about a graf shari'i, when you have a chamber pot, which is disgusting, and people don't want it around, and the Chachamim relaxed the rules of mukta a little bit, and allowed you to take it out, and then throw out the waste on Shabbos, outdoors. So the same thing over here. When you have dirty plates and whatever on the table, it's like a graf shari'i, and therefore you're allowed to move it. But other than that, you're right, it would have actually been usur on the grounds. Other than that, according to Rabba's understanding of Rav Nechemiah, it would have taka been usur on the grounds of Mokta. Similarly, Omale Abaya l'Rabba. So Abaya one time asked the same question to Rabba. Apparently Abaya wasn't there when these three Chachamim had their conversation. So he asked the same question. Lamar alibidir Rav Nechemiah, according to you, Rebbe, according to your understanding of Rav Nechemiah, Hani ka'oras heichem etaltalinim lahu, how are we allowed to clear off the dirty dishes from the table after Shabbos? And Amalei. So he answers him, Rab Safra chavrin tirgama, Rab Safra, our colleague, already explained it, needed to have a graf shari'i, because it's like a graf shari'i, and you have a heter to move that on Shabbos, a special heter that applies to a graf shari'i, to something that's disgusting or otherwise mere stick or whatever, and you want it out of the way on Shabbos. That's why, according to Rava's understanding of Rav Nechemiah, we don't need that. Because according to Rava's understanding, you're allowed to move a klish malach to leheter, l'tzorech mekoymer. So fine, you need the space of it, because you want the table for something else. And according to the Chachamim, it's neither here nor there. Because according to the Chachamim, it's also not a problem, because both Rava and Rava agree that the Chachamim say you're allowed to move a klish malach to leheter, l'tzorech mekoymer. So the question is only on Rava's understanding of Rav Nechemiah. I mean, the halacha is like Rava's understanding of the Chachamim. So therefore, klisha malachta laheter, you're allowed to move for any purpose at all. L'tzorech gufoy, l'tzorech mekoymer, or mechama l'tzel. You're just not allowed to, as we talked about yesterday, move it for no purpose at all. As the Alter Rebbe writes there, the gzera is still in effect as far as that. And then a klisha malachta laister, you can move l'tzorech gufoy and mekoymer, but not mechama l'tzel. That's according to Rava's understanding of the Chachamim, which is the halacha. So we have Rava's understanding again, which is that if it's a klisha malachta l'iser, if it's a klisha malachta l'heter, you're allowed to move it for any of the three purposes, and if it's a klisha malachta l'iser, you're allowed to move it for any of the two purposes. Go for your makoymai. So again, Eisei Abaya l'Rava. So again, Abaya asks on Rava the same question that he asked before, the same question that he asked on Rava on Kufchav Gimel Amud Aleph, and on Rava before, when we had the discussion on the previous Amud, we had the discussion about what were the various stages where they were matir, where they were progressively matir, various aspects of the Dinim of Mukta. And we said Rava's understanding had been, that there came a point when they were matir, a klisha malachta lehetel, a tzorech gufay, and the tzorech mekoymai, and then mechama l'tzel, whereas Abaya had disagreed on that and said there's no heter to move it, and then a klisha malachta leiser is also mechama l'tzel, whereas Abaya had held, like Rabba over here, that only the tzorech gufay, not the tzorech mekoymai. So now, Abaya had asked this question on Rabba from the meducha, from the case of the mortar, so now he's asking again. Now when Rabba is explaining our Mishnah to say that a klisha malachta le'isu, you're allowed to move the tzorech gufay, the tzorech mekoymai. So what about, we said meducha, we said a mortar, im yesh bashum metalt lenoi. So if there's garlic inside it, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Again, either because you're moving something heter together with something ulcer, or just because the mortar itself is serving as a keli for the garlic right now, so therefore it's mutter. If im lav ein metalt lenoi, so if not, then you're not allowed to move it. Now, why not? According to Rava, you should be allowed to move it letzorech gufay, letzorech mekoymai. If you want the mortar itself to sit on, for example, or if it's in the way and you want to get it out of the way. The answer is, like we answered, like Rava had answered before, we're talking about where you want to move it from the sun into the shade. You're not moving it because you need the keli itself, or because you need the spot where the keli was, but because you want to protect the keli itself from damage. That's the braisa is saying you're not allowed to do. So we said before, we said at the top of the Amud, Rashi had said that Rabbi Lazar would consider that to be a very forced answer, and he wouldn't accept it, and that's why he tried to explain it differently. But Rabbi also had explained it differently, but Rabbi is sticking to his guns and saying that no, it's only the braisa saying you're not allowed to move it, mechamal itzel, but you would be allowed to move it, letzorech gufay or letzorech mekoymai. Okay. Esve, Abaya asks on Rava another question, which again we had before. We said yesterday that you have an Eli, which is a very large, heavy wooden board. Again, we had Abaya use that question on Rava and also on Rava. You have this very heavy wooden board, which usually is used during the week. It's used to break up wheat kernels to make, for example, farfel, or to crush tree bark to use as one of the ingredients when you're tanning leather. So therefore, normally it's muktzah on Yom Tov because the klishim malachah le'isser, because neither of those things are you allowed to do on Yom Tov. So we said Beshama and Basil argue whether you're allowed to use it as a cutting board for meat on Yom Tov. Hillel allows it, but we said the shoven, they both agree, shame kitziv olive basa, that if you did chop up meat on it, shall also latafloi, afterwards you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos, to put it back where it was. Now again, why not? It's a klisha malachal iser, you should be allowed to move it according to Rava Latzorach Mekoymer. And again, the answer is hachanami, mechama latzel. Again, we're talking about that. We'd be saying that you're not allowed to move it, mechamel itself, but you would be allowed to move it where you need it if you want it to cut up more meat on it someplace else, which would be Letzorach Kufay, or if you want to put it back where it was because you need the spot, which is Letzorach Lekaymai. We didn't say chamel itself. Chamel itself, yeah. So, no, let's say you were cutting the meat outside. You could be cutting the meat in the chotzer. But in other words, we could be saying once you used it, you may be allowed to use it for a certain purpose on Yom Tov, but it remains muktzah and you can't because it is after all a klish malachah le'isur. You can't move it mechamel etzel. Keep in mind also mechamel etzel just means it's just a way of saying to keep it from getting damaged. You could have equally well, for example, that's in your house, but it's in a place where it's going to get damaged if you don't put it away. So again, so Rava would say that's what the braisa means. Okay. Okay, what about another Mishnah that we learn in Masech the Beitza? You're not allowed to use a piece of wood on Yom Tov to hold up a pot. So let's say you have a pot which is dented and it's not sitting straight on the fire. You're not allowed to use a piece of wood to support it on one side. The same thing with a door. You're not allowed to hold open a door using a piece of wood unless it was designated before Yom Tov as a doorstop. Now the question is, now you have to consider a piece of wood is a davar shemalach lehetu on Yom Tov because you are allowed to cook food on Yom Tov. You're allowed to do malachas eichel nefesh. So a piece of wood is not muktza on Yom Tov because you can use it for firewood. Alma, so we see from that, davar shemalach lehetu bein letzarech gufa bein letzarech mekayme also. So you see, so now you have a problem on both Rabba and Rabba's explanation. So why should it be also to use it to hold up a pot if it is a davar shemalach lehetu? That's the question. Why does it have to be prepared before Yom Tov? Why is the Mishnah saying over there that you're not allowed to if it wasn't pre-designated before Yom Tov? It's a klisha malach on Yom Tov. A piece of wood is a klisha malach lehetu. Because you're allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov. No. So that's the question then. So why over here then should you be so what's the problem? Now of course the Gemara could have answered that Mishnah is according to Rav Nechemia, but the Gemara would rather that a Stam Mishnah is not going to be according to only one Tana, especially when the Halacha is not like it. So that's a question on both Rabba and Rabba. The answer is Hossa my timer. The answer is like this. You know why? The reason is given the Shabbos davar shemalach le'isru, because after all, a piece of wood is a davar shemalach le'isru on Shabbos, because you can't use firewood on Shabbos. Therefore, gzera Yom Tov after Shabbos. So you're right. We should be able to use it to hold up the pot, but because on Shabbos such a thing would be muktzah, so we make a gzera not to use it on Yom Tov either, so that you don't confuse them. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. So that's the question the Gemara asks. V'chitema Shabbos Gufa Tishri. Now, you might ask, okay, so how does that help us according to Rava? According to Rava himself, Shabbos itself, it should be mutter to handle the piece of wood. Because after all, Rava is saying that according to the Chachamim, even a Kli Shemalach de l'Issu, you're allowed to move the Tzarech Gufa or the Tzarech Mekoyme. This is Tzarech Gufay, because you need it in order to hold up the pot. So according to Rava, you should be able to move it even on Shabbos. So certainly you should be able to move it on Yom Tov. What's the problem? The answer is Hanimili Hecha de Ikatoras Kli Olav. That heter only applies when you have something which is a Keli. But where it doesn't have the function and the purpose of a keli, then not. Firewood is not considered a keli, because a keli is something that you use again and again. Firewood you don't. You burn it and that's that. So therefore it can't be considered a keli. It's a different category of mukta. All of this that we're talking about, tzarech gufo, tzarech mekoyim, and whatever, is talking about kelim. A piece of wood is not a keli, unless it was pre-designated as one before Shabbos. Okay. So that would be different. Then, in fact, you wouldn't be able to handle it on Shabbos, because it's not considered a keli, and its only purpose on Shabbos is one, which is also, namely, to use for firewood. So, therefore, we're going to say we're going to go further and make a gzera not to handle it on Yom Tov. Okay. The Gemara asked, Migas Rinan. Okay, so what are you telling me then? You're saying that we make gzeras on Yom Tov, that you shouldn't do certain things because you might come to do them on Shabbos instead. Since when do we make such gzeras? We learn in a Mishnah in Beitza, Mashilin Peres Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov Avaloi B'Shabbos. If you have fruit or produce or whatever that's drying on your roof before on Yom Tov, and you see it's about to rain, you're allowed to. The Mishnah says over there, you're allowed to take the fruit or whatever and throw it down through a skylight into the house so it doesn't get ruined by the rain. You're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So we see, you don't make Xeris. Now, you wouldn't be allowed to do that on Shabbos. We don't say that you make a Zera, that you can't do it on Yom Tov either. Okay, so my ask back when we like us winning. So what do you think? We don't make such zeras? Well, it's not. We learned in a Mishnah earlier in Beitza, Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos al Oichel Nefesh Bobad. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is Melechas Oichel Nefesh. Meaning that you see that other than the things that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, like cooking and whatever, you're not allowed to do other than that. The dinim of Yom Tov are just like the dinim of Shabbos. So yes, if we have something that's also on Shabbos, it's going to be also on Yom Tov as well, including the various things of Tildo. Okay, Amar of Yosef. So we're still left with the question, therefore. So on the face of it, yes, we do make such gzeiros. Well, first, actually, what we have to deal with is, so what do we mean? On the one hand, we have a Mishnah in Beitza that tells us that you have a difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos as far as this matter of saving the fruit from the roof. On the other hand, you have the Mishnah saying that there's no difference except Melechas Ochel Nefesh. So how do we reconcile them? Amar Rav Yosef, Loi Kasha, Harav Eliezer, Harav Yeshua. Those two Mishnayos are according to two different Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, we learned this last week, Oisiv es b'noi shenafel lebur, if you have two animals, a mother animal and a baby animal, that fell into a pit on Yom Tov, now you're not allowed to shech them both, because Oisiv es b'noi leis yishatu. So what do? Rabbi Eliezer ayim ma'ala sarishin amanas l'shechtei. Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to bring up the first one intending to shech it, and then you actually shecht it, and now you have meat for Yom Tov. Vasheni, as far as the other one, Oselik, Parnosa, Bimkoimai, Vishro Shalayamas. You just provide food for it where it is, down in the pit, so it doesn't die, but you can't actually pull it up, because it's going to be mukta, because you can't shecht it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Malah, Sarishan, Amanasal, Shoftoi. Rabbi Yeshua would say that you're allowed to bring up the first one, intending to shecht it, the eino shecht it, but you don't actually shecht it. Umari mamales hasheni. Then you play a trick. You say, you know what? I decided I don't want to shecht the first one. I want to shecht the second one instead. So you bring out the second one. Umales hasheni. Rotzes hashechet. Rotzes hashechet. And now you're allowed to shecht whichever one of them you want. Now that you have them both out of the pit. So we see that Rabbi Yeshua is mekel when it comes to the halachas of Yom Tov, and Rabbi Eliezer is being machmir. So therefore, so we could say the same thing. And the Mishnah that says Ein Bein, that there's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, according to him, you would not be allowed to, for example, if you had food on the roof, to throw it inside through the skylight on Yom Tov. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, you would. Same thing as he says with the Oisiv Espinay. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer would say, right, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to, therefore on Yom Tov you're not allowed to either. Because it's more a matter of tircha. It's more a matter of there's a lot of tircha involved in getting it down through the skylight. Okay. However, the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that's the correct explanation? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua disagree in their case of Oisiv Espinoi, but that doesn't extend to other cases. Dilma ad kan leka'omer Rabbi Eliezer hasma ela de'efshel panosa. In that case, you know why Rabbi Eliezer is mach? Because you have an alternative. You can give the animal food down in the pit and keep it alive for the rest of Yom Tov down there in the pit, and therefore you don't have a heter to bring it up. Aval hecha deloy efshel panosa. But in the case, let's say, of the fruit on the roof, there's no way, if it rains, the food is going to get ruined, and there's no way to save it, but no other way to save it. Loy, then maybe not. Maybe he would be mekel and agree that you're allowed to do it. Inami, or the other way around. Ad kan like Rabbi Yeshua hasam de efshe b'harama. You know why Rabbi Yeshua allows it for by the Oath of Esmeralda, because you have a way of doing it in a way that looks like Heter. You're doing it, you're pulling it up and saying, you know, I decided I wanted to shech this one, I decided I wanted to shech that one. It doesn't look like blatantly like you're doing something which is where you're being machal yom tov. Fine, but even so, aval hecha the loy efshe b'harama, but where it's not possible, where it comes to the mashilin, there's no harama involved. If you're putting the fruit down into your house, it's obvious that you're doing it in order to save it. Unlike the Oseh Espinoy, where you could argue you're not doing it so much in order to save it, but because you want to shech the animal and eat it on Yom Tov. So Lloyd, maybe not. Maybe he would hold then therefore that you wouldn't be allowed to do it, that you would be allowed to do it on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. So each case has something special of its own. Okay. So we still have the question, though, on the one hand, we have the Mishnah that says Ein Bein, and on the other hand, we have the Mishnah that says you're allowed to throw down the fruit through the skylight. So we said it's not necessarily according to Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua. So what is it? Ela, Amar Papa, like Kasha, Habes Shammai, Habes Hillel. One's according to Bes Shammai, one's according to Bes Hillel. It's not Bes Shammai, Omim. Ein motzien loyasak, ein motzien as a cotton ves a lula ves sefer Torah loshos rabim. Beis Shammai says that on Yom Tov you're not allowed to carry out a child or a lulav or sefer Torah to loshos rabim because those are not oichel nefesh. Beis Shammai holds that when we say meleches oichel nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov means only for oichel nefesh and these are not oichel nefesh. So therefore, Beis Shammai says the issue of haitzah still applies. Where Beis Hillel says it's mutter on the famous grounds of hoyu that we say once it's mutter once it's mutter to carry eichel nefesh, then you're allowed to carry other things that are needed for Yom Tov as well, like the lulav or whatever. Shabbos is different. Yeah, but Tzah and Achnasa is also on Shabbos. Beis Shammai agrees that Malachas Eichel Nefesh is Mutter on Yom Tov. It says so in a pasuk. But Beis Shammai says only where you're doing the Malacha for Eichel Nefesh. Beis Hillel says once the Malacha is Mutter for Eichel Nefesh, then the same Malacha is Mutter for other purposes as well. The point is, so the Mishnah that says Ein Bein, and Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos Ela Eichel Nefesh would be according to Beis Shammai. The one that says that you're allowed to throw down the fruit through the skylight would be according to Beis Hillel. However, the Gemara says not necessarily. Ein Mutter Shammat L'Hul Beis Shammai Haitzah. You know, when you find that Beis Shammai is machmir, is on haitzah, which is an actual malacha d'araisa. So then they're saying that fine. Then they're saying that fine. You're only allowed to do it on Yom Tov when it's for oichel nefesh, and otherwise it's still the malacha of haitzah. Tiltur mishamat. Ooh, where do you ever find that they would be machmir on tiltur, which is only drabanan? Inside the house, let's say, when we're talking about, remember, the original question we were bringing up was the question, why would you not be allowed to pick up a piece of wood and use it to hold up a pot on Yom Tov if the wood itself, so we're saying that maybe we make a Xera Yom Tov up to Shabbos, but we're saying we don't always, because we see in the case of the fruit we don't. So even Beis Shammai is going to be machmer on Dinim D'Oraisa. Who says they're machmer on Dinim D'Rabbanan? The answer is the Gemara says, so what? The tiltu gufei lav mishum haitzahu. Look, after all, this that you're not allowed to move things that are muktzah on Shabbos, isn't it fundamentally because you're going to come to carry them on Shabbos? Or different girsa on the side, which is also Rashi's girsa, is the other way around. Oto tiltu lav tzorach haitzahu. Isn't tiltu necessary for haitzah? By definition, haitzah, to take something from one reshusa to another, involves that you start by picking it up. So therefore, yes, Beis Shammai would say that if we have to be machmir on haitzah on Yom Tov, and we have to because according to them it's also daraisa to take out anything on Yom Tov that's not for oichel nefesh, then they would be machmir on tiltur drabanan as well because tiltur goes together with haitzah. The two of them are tightly connected together. In fact, actually, we talked about yesterday, the Rambam gives a few different reasons behind the dinim of mukta. One of them is because otherwise you're going to end up carrying things around your house all day and you're not going to be resting on Shabbos like you should. Another is because what if you have a person who doesn't work during the week? If they don't have something to distinguish Shabbos from the week, then their Shabbos is going to be like every other weekday. So like this, they can't handle things on Shabbos. And a third reason is because you might come to use the object itself for davar aser. So the Raivet says, what are you talking about? What kind of reasons are those? The Gemara says right here that Chotel is that Chotel is Mishum Haitzah, is in order that you don't carry it out into Rosh Hashanah. So among Chotel means carrying things that are Mukta. So among others, the Magid Mishnah over there on the Rambam answers that the Rambam would say this is talking about the original Gzeira that Nehemiah made, that we said before that Nehemiah made, because in his times people were being Mechal Shabbos a lot. That would have been to prevent them from carrying out the Rosh Hashanah, because in his times people were actually carrying in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. But in later times, once the Chachamim saw that people are more careful with Shabbos and they were progressively matter, you still need a reason why certain things are also on Shabbos, and those are the reasons that the Rambam offers. Okay, so the bottom line is, therefore, it would come out that the Mishnah in Beitza that says that you're not allowed to use a piece of wood to hold up a pot would be only according to Beis Shammai. Now, there's a big problem with that, which is the fact is the halacha is like that Mishnah. The halacha is not like Beis Shammai. So how does that work? So a couple of the Rishonim talk about different possibilities. One is that the Gemara, in fact, in Beitza, the Gemara over there gives a different explanation that it has to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about the scope of the dinim of muktzah. Whether we hold, like, this wood is usually used for firewood, so are you allowed to use it for a different purpose on Yom Tov, which we're going to see in the next Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can only use a keli, that you can only use a keli for something similar to its original purpose. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So the Baal HaMor says, in fact, it could be that there are two different Gemaras. Sometimes you have different Gemaras disagree with each other. One Gemara, our Gemara, takes the view that it's according to Beis Shammai, and the other one takes the view that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Different other Rishonim that Ramban and others talk about, but not necessarily. The Gemara there brings a Braisa that mentions that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore now over there the Gemara knew that. In our Gemara, we didn't bring any such Braisa, so therefore the Gemara had to assume, without knowing that Braisa, that it could be only according to Beis Shammai. But once we have a Braisa over there that explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the wood can only be used for its actual purpose of firewood and nothing else, then we understand that the Mishnah can be according to him. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'af Rav Savala Lahada Rava. You should know that Rav also agreed with what Rava said, that when you have an item which is muktzah, which is a dover from Malachta Le'isr, you're allowed to move it L'tzarech Gufay and L'tzarech Mekoymai, not like Rava had said that you can move it only L'tzarech Gufay. So how do we see this? D'amar Rav, mer, if you have a shovel or a spade or whatever, shalo yigonev, if you're carrying it, which is a klish malachta le'isser, of course, if you're moving it inside so it shouldn't get stolen, zehu tiltu shalo le'tzarech v'asr. That would be an example of tiltu shalo le'tzarech, and therefore that would be also because it's a klish malachta le'isser. Taima shalo yigonev, so why are we saying you're not allowed to, would be only if you're doing it in order that it doesn't get stolen, aval tzarech gofer le'tzarech mekayim emoter, implying that for any other purpose, where you want the shovel itself, tzarech gofer, to do something which is mutter on Shabbos, or l'tzarech mekoyme because you need the spot where it is, then it would be mutter. So we see that he agrees with Rava's understanding. On Shabbos, we're talking about him. So the Gemara says, hey, I mean, it would be on Yom Tov as well, because you can't, a shovel is a klish malachta le'isser on Yom Tov as well. You're not allowed to dig in the ground on Yom Tov. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? V'har Rav Kahana ikla lebei Rav. Rav Kahana one time visited Rav's house on Shabbos, and they were out of chairs. But Omar, so Rav said, "Aisule shusa l'Kahana leisavale, go bring a net for Kahana to sit on." Now a net is a klisha malachta le'isur because you're not allowed to trap animals on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And we still see that he's saying to bring a net. That's what's sort of gufoy. So lav lememrit davash malachta leisur l'tzarech gufoy ein l'tzarech mekayim eloy. Now, why does Rav have to stress that we need it in order for Kahana to sit on? It must be because he's saying the only reason it's mutter to carry it would be for that reason, because we're using l'tzarech gufoy in order to sit on, but not if it had been l'tzarech gufoy ein l'tzarech mekayim eloy, implying that if it had just been in the way and you want to move it, then you wouldn't be allowed to. So that would mean that Rav disagrees with Rava. The answer is no. Loi, hocha amalahu, shkulu shusa mikame kahana. No, what Rav is actually saying is the net is in the way, take it away so that Kahana has room to sit down. So therefore, it's l'tzarech mekayimei. The iboyseima, or another possibility, hosa mechamal telhava, another possibility is it could have been that there you were actually talking about it was being moved mechamal tzel, the net was out in the sun and it had to be brought inside in order to protect it. So Rav is saying if he didn't say bring it in order for Kahana to sit on, people would mistakenly think that you're allowed to move it mechamal tzel, which you're not because it's a klish malachta le'isur. So therefore he said bring it in for Kahana to sit on, in order that people shouldn't mistakenly think that he's only bringing it in mechamal tzel. Then if we'll start from a comment. So there's two possibilities. Either the net was inside and it was in the way and Rav was telling them to move it so he has room to sit down, or it was outside and they're telling them bring it inside, but just to bring it inside wouldn't be good enough unless we were doing it in order to sit on, which is a sort of go for it. Okay. Another case, Rav Mori Bar Rochel Havalei Ahu Beis Sad Yosef B'Shimsha. Rav Mori Bar Rochel one time had pillows or mattresses or whatever outside in the sun, and they were going to get ruined over Shabbos. Also, Kamei de Rava, so he came to Rava to ask what to do. Amalei Ma'ol Taltolino, am I allowed to move them inside on Shabbos? Amalei Shari. So Rava says you're allowed to, because like he said, it's a Klisha Malach de Laheter, so you're allowed to move it to Mechama Latzel. But Rav Mori Bar Rochel says, is that really so? Maybe you're saying it's mutter only because I need it in order to sit on Shabbos. Isliach Rina. I have other ones that I could sit on or lie on instead, so I don't need this particular one for that purpose. Okay, Rava says, no problem. Chozel Orchin. Fine, but you could still say, if you have guests on Shabbos, then you could use it for them. He says, Isli Nami Lorchin. So Rav Mori Bar Rochel says, I have plenty for my guests also. So is there still a heter to move it for any other reason? Amalei, so Rava tells him, by asking the question, you're showing that you agree with Rabba's explanation on Amar Aleph that even a klisha malach de leheter, you're not allowed to move mechama letzel, where your only purpose is in order to save it. You're allowed to move it according to Rabba letzarech gufo, letzarech mekomei, but not mechama letzel. This that you're saying, I have plenty of other ones, and therefore I don't need it, letzarech gufo, and letzarech mekomei, then you're showing that you hold like Rabba. Therefore, Rabba tells him, Lakula al-Mashari, for everybody else it'll be mutter, because the halacha is in fact like Rabba. Lididach also, but for you, you want to be machman yourself and hold like Rabba, then fine, for you it's also. Okay. Amr of Abba, Amr of Chibash, Amr Rav. Machbedes shal milsa, brooms that are made out of cloth, mutter l'tawthul on b'Shabbos, you're allowed to move those on Shabbos. So these kinds of brooms are used in order to sweep the table. After you ate on the table, you use, like nowadays, you would just use a paper towel or something to clear up, to wipe off the table. In those days, they would use a broom. They'd use a broom made out of cloth attached to a handle. So that you're allowed to use on Shabbos. But the ones that are made out of palm leaves, which are used to sweep the house, that not, because then you're going to be, when they had dirt floors in those days, then you're going to be sweeping the dirt, and you're going to be smoothing it out, and even Rav Shimon would agree, it's also because psik resha. Rav Elazar says, you're even allowed to handle ones on Shabbos that are made out of palm leaves. So the question is, Maya Skinnan, what are we talking about handling it? For what purpose? Are we talking about moving it? What do you mean? What do you mean? So why is Rab saying that one that you use to sweep the floor that's made out of palm leaves would be also to move? We just established that Rab agrees with Rabba that even a klisha malach de l'isser, you're allowed to move the tzarech gufoy or the tzarech makoymai. Are we talking about moving it in order to protect it from the sun into the shade? What do you mean? Then why would Rav Elazar say that one that's used for sweeping the floor is mutter? It is only mechama letzel. Nobody holds that mechama letzel, you're allowed to move something that's a malachter, a klisha malachter leiser. The answer is la'olam mechama letzel. Actually, we are talking about moving it from the sun into the shade to protect it. Ema, so you have to say, not that Rav Elazar disagrees, not that Rav said one thing and then Rav Elazar says different. V'chein, omer Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar said the same thing as Rav, that you're allowed to move the broom in order, when you need it, letzarech gufoy, for example, to sweep up the table, or letzarech mekoymei, but not mechama letzel, because it itself is a klisha malach de l'isser, because you're using it to sweep the floor, and the floor is dirt and it has holes. Now, the Rif writes the Rif disagrees with Rashi and says that actually Rav Shimon would be mafter it because it's not necessarily psik resha that you're going to fill in holes as you sweep. So therefore, it's a davar shein miskaven. I mean, davar shein miskaven is mutter according to Rav Shimon. The Baal Amor disagrees with the Rif on that, because he says, like Rashi, that it is psik resha. The Ramban talks about at some length over there explaining why it's not psik resha. Nowadays, that we usually don't have dirt floors, then the halacha is that you are allowed to sweep the floor on Shabbos, although, as we've learned before, you're supposed to use a broom with soft bristles, because if you use one with hard bristles, then they're very likely to break off, and then you have a different issue. Okay. Mishnah says, Kolak Kalim and Itolin b'Shabbos, all Kalim that are allowed to be handled on Shabbos, Shivrehen Itolin Imahin. You're allowed to also move with them the broken pieces of them. The broken pieces are also not considered Mukta. We'll see in the Gemara. We're going to start talking about whether we're talking about that it broke on Shabbos or before Shabbos. So the broken pieces are not Mukta, although Vajiyu Osin Me'en Malach, as long as those broken pieces are able to be used for some kind of useful purpose. It doesn't have to be anything related to the original purpose, according to the Tanakhama, but it has to be that it's usable for some purpose. For example, Shivrei Areva. For example, if you have broken pieces of a bowl, they have to be lachasis ben, espia chavis, they have to be large enough that you could use them to cover the opening of a barrel. Or shivrei schuches, or if you have broken pieces of glass, then they can be smaller, lachas benes piapach, then they just have to be big enough to cover up with them a small flask, a small container with a narrow mouth. And the point is, in other words, that an areva is usually made out of wood, and a broken piece of that is less important, so you would need a larger size piece for it to be considered useful. You wouldn't use a small size piece of wood like that to cover up a pach, as opposed to glass is considered more important. It's more expensive, so therefore you'd use it even for this purpose, even a smaller piece. As a pach is a small container, like the pach shel shemen from Hanukkah. So it means a container with a small neck. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not good enough that it's just usable for some purpose. It has to be, that the broken piece still has a function similar to the original whole cave. For example, Shivrei Areva lots of Lasechan Mikvah. For example, an areva is usually a bowl that's used for kneading dough. So usually you put in it dough, which has a very thick consistency. So if the piece is still large enough that you can use it to put in it mikvah, which is a kind of thick porridge, then it would still be mutter to move it on Shabbos, because then it's similar to dough, but not otherwise. Not if you're just using it as a covering for a container. And similarly, shivrei v'shal schuchis lots of l'sechon shemen. If you have broken pieces of a glass keli, Rabbi Yehuda would say you're allowed to move them on Shabbos if they're still large enough that they could hold oil, because that would be similar to the original function of it, where it held oil or some other kinds of liquid. Okay. So, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, like Mar says, Machloikas Shenishburu Me'erev Shabbos. This Machloikas between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda is where the Keli broke before Shabbos. Demar Sova Me'en Malach Den Ein Me'en Malach Acheres Loi. So then we have the Machloikas where the Tanakhama says it's good enough as long as it, where Rav Yehuda says it has to be Me'en Malach Ton, it has to be that it continues to serve something resembling the original purpose. So for example, again, the bowl used to be used for kneading dough, and now you're able to use it to hold porridge. So then it would be you'd be allowed to move it on Shabbos, but not me'ein malacha acheres loy, but not if it's only usable now for a different malacha, for example, covering up a container. Umar Sava Afilim in Malacha Acheres, and the Tanakhama would hold, even if it's for a different Malacha, as long as it has some function, then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Avol Nish, that's if they broke before Shabbos, says Rabbi Yehuda. Avol Nishvaru b'Shabbos, but if the Keli broke on Shabbos, Divrei Hakol Mutarden, then everybody would agree that a broken piece is a mutter to handle either way, Hola Mukhanan, Agavavi and Mutter, because when Shabbos began, they were Mukhan, they were still usable, because the whole Keli was still intact at that point, and therefore it was allowed to be moved. So even now that it's broken, it doesn't become mukta partway through Shabbos. Because it was mukhan, because it was ready to be used earlier on Shabbos, so therefore it remains mukta to be used during the rest of Shabbos. Even if it's not serving, as long as it's serving some kind of purpose, even if it's not something similar to the original purpose. So Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, according to this, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah would agree that if you have, let's say, this kneading tray that was broken on Shabbos, and the piece is large enough to use to cover up a barrel, then he would agree that you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Only if it broke before Shabbos, only then would he say that it's mutter to handle on Shabbos, only if you could use it to put porridge into. But Moisiv Reb Zutroi, but Reb Zutroi says, I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa, Masikin Bekalim, you're allowed to use for firewood on Yom Tov, you're allowed to use whole Kalim that are made out of wood for firewood on Yom Tov. There ain't Masikin Beshivre Kalim, but you're not allowed to use broken Kalim for firewood, and we have to ask Nishburu Emas. These broken Kalim, when did they break? Ilema de Nishburu Me'erev Yom Tov. Are you talking about they broke before Yom Tov? What's the problem? Why wouldn't you be allowed to use them firewood? Eitz and Ba'alman, you know, after all, if they broke before Yom Tov, you're not going to be fixing them. What are you going to be using them for? Firewood. So therefore, they should be mutter. Obviously, it must be that they broke on Yom Tov, and we're still saying that you're not allowed to use them for firewood on Yom Tov, because now they're used for a different purpose. Before they were usable as a keli, now they're usable only as firewood. Fine, firewood in and of itself is not mukta on Yom Tov, but the fact is it's now nolad, it now has a completely different purpose, and we're saying you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. So we see, by the same token, when the keli broke on Shabbos, you shouldn't be allowed to use it if it's not doing me'ein melachta, if it's not serving its original purpose. Now, you're right, the Gemara says, Ela'i itma hochi itma. You're right. If the statement of Shmuel was said, then it was said as follows. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machloikas Shenishbur B'Shabbos. Just the opposite. The Machloikas in our Mishnah of Yehuda and the Chachamim is if the Keli broke on Shabbos itself. The Marasavam Mochanu, the Tanakama will say, no problem, it's still considered Mochan. As long as that broken piece has some function, we can still consider that it is Roy for some kind of Malacha. Therefore, it's not Mukta. Or Marasavam Noladhu, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would hold this is a type of Nolad, because now, before it had one function, now it has a completely different function. So that would be an example of nolad that Rabbi Yehuda would say is also. Avama erev Shabbos divehakum utarin. But if the keli broke on erev Shabbos, everybody would agree that the broken pieces are mutter as long as they have some function. However, hochnu the malacha mebodiyam, because before Shabbos they were already designated for some kind of malacha. You designated before Shabbos since it broke. You knew you can't use it as a tray for kneading dough anymore. Now you're going to use it, for example, to cover a barrel. So fine, then you're allowed to do that because it broke before Shabbos. Okay. Tony, getting back to this matter of using broken kalim for firewood on Yom Tov, Tony choda masikin bekalim ve'en masikin b'shivrei kalim. One Braisa says that you're allowed to use a whole kalim for firewood on Yom Tov, but not broken ones, because as we said, then they're nolad. V'tanya idach k'shem shemasikin bekalim kach masikin b'shivrei kalim. Another one says, just like you're allowed to use whole wooden kalim for firewood, so you're allowed to use broken ones, b'pashtus, even if they broke on Yom Tov. V'tanya idach ein masikin loy b'kalim v'loy b'shivrei kalim. And then a third braisa says you're not allowed to use either one, not whole kalim and not broken kalim. So what's going on over here? What are the different opinions? Harav Yehuda, Harav Shimon, Harav Nechemya, those are three different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah that the broken kalim, if it broke on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, has to be serving its original purpose in order to be mutter to handle. So now it's not, because before it was a keli, and now it's useful only for firewood. So he says the whole keli, fine, the whole keli is not mukta, therefore you're allowed to burn it if you want. The broken keli not, because now it's nolad. So that's the first braisa. The second braisa that says you're allowed to use broken kalim or whole kalim would be hard of Shimon. That would be according to Reb Shimon, who doesn't care about that kind of nolad. Now, other kinds of nolad, Reb Shimon agrees, are also. For example, Beitza Shanol the Beyontiv, we know is also. But that's a kind of nolad where the thing didn't exist in the world, or at least not, it didn't exist out in the outside world, outside of the chicken, before Yom Tov or before Shabbos. Here it existed, it was just before it was whole, and now it's broken. And then Harav Nechemya, the third braisa that says that you can't use either one, a whole kalim or broken kalim, would be according to Rav Nechemya, where again, as we said, Rav Nechemya says you're only allowed to use a keli for its designated purpose on Shabbos or Yom Tov. The designated purpose of a wooden keli is not to burn it, it's to use it as a keli. Therefore, he would say you can't use it for firewood on Yom Tov. Okay, when it comes to the halachas of mukta, on Shabbos we paskin like Reb Shimon, and therefore we make on the dinim of mukta, on Yom Tov we paskin like Reb Yehuda, and therefore are a little more machmir. One idea, but it is in fact because there are certain halachas that are mutter on Yom Tov and also on Shabbos, we don't want people to start treating Yom Tov casually and thinking that all kinds of things are mutter, and therefore we have one aspect, namely when the dinim of mukta, where we're more machmir on Yom Tov than we are on Shabbos. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So we're machmir more on Yom Tov when it comes to mukta than we are on Shabbos. So for example, a case like this of Nolad, a case where a keli broke and now is not usable for its original purpose, there we hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's also to use it for some other purpose on Yom Tov. It became a new keli. Another example would be what we mentioned before about the matter of using a piece of wood to hold up a pot. So the purpose of firewood is, the purpose of wood on Yom Tov is to use as firewood, not to use to hold up pots. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say that you can only use it for that purpose. So that would be another example where we're machmir, like Rabbi Yehuda in the dinner of muhtza on Yom Tov, where it's a parallel thing on Shabbos. I mean, on Shabbos, you don't need to hold up a pot. You can't cook, but whatever, a parallel case on Shabbos would be muhtza. Okay. Shkayach.